Well, now, that was fun. To Kurt, you know what they say about things like Lifetime Achievement Awards, which this sort of is? He's only once. You know, I mean, that's it. You don't, this doesn't happen every week, so. And in a few minutes, you're back on the job for the offertory, so. Don't get comfortable in these accolades of how great you are. You're back to work. Pat will lean over in about 10 minutes and say, I think you should play this. And he'll say, no, I've already got something in mind. And she'll say, oh, do what I tell you. Happens every Sunday. To the rest of you, quite understandably, you didn't see coming how Fiona prompted you and how First Chronicles prompts us at the end of the beautiful song that the that we are given there. Fiona tried her best to prompt you to, and only some of us perhaps have this ingrained deeply in us from our past, but to the call of, and all the people said, and the congregation responds with amen. Only a few of you said it, most of you are too timid and contemplative to do this. But listen, you're going to have one more chance. I'm just preparing you. The end of the sermon will reflect the end of this beautiful passage. You probably don't read First Chronicles all the time, but this is where that comes from. And so you're going to be given one more chance. And unfortunately, our brother Rudy has moved to Clifton, but as it happens, he's here this morning. And this is Rudy's thing. I mean, this is the thing. And so I want the rest of you to be inspired to own that moment when it comes, and you'll know it when it comes. There is a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. For Christians, the time to laugh and dance and sing is named Easter. For this is the time of resurrection hope. That time is now and forevermore for those who have received the gift of life from He who died for all creation. Thus it is written, as we heard this morning, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. To be witnesses of these things is to be a people who have heard the good news and received it in faith. It is to live as a people set free, a people who know they are loved, and to live as a people who love generously and radically. It is to be a people who sing. It takes a little bit of courage to sing. Most of us, are not really all that good at it. And that means that most of us, know the intrinsic value of being with other people, not necessarily even other people who are especially good at singing, just other people. When we're with other people who are singing, we start to sound pretty good. A whole room of people who are individually not that good at singing, when they're all together, sound like a people who are pretty good at singing. And isn't that a miracle? It's like water to wine. And it happens here every Sunday morning. I know a theologian who was invited to speak at a Saturday evening gathering of the local atheist and agnostic club. He went and he gave a speech. And afterward, he was asked, well, what was it like being at the atheist and agnostic club? He said, well, in a lot of ways, it was like going to church. People were nice and hospitable. They listened attentively. They asked good questions. They expressed concern for the pressing matters of justice and peace and care for society's problems, and especially those who suffer from them the most. It was an entirely pleasant evening. It was a lot like going to church with one difference. What was that? He was asked. It seems the atheists don't have songs to sing. And the whole night, there was no music. It seems like every time Christians are together, someone starts singing. The church's music is a witness of hope in the face of everything in this life that can stifle hope. Ultimately, music joins heads and hearts in praise. This is true in good and happy times when our hearts are lifted up, and it is true in the sad and lonely times, even at funerals, even at those times, even maybe especially then when we confront the reality of death in the hope of resurrection. It is in the presence of death where Christian hope is most real, if it is real within us at all. Old-time Wacoan Martha Emmons was a brilliant folklorist and storyteller, and I heard one of her stories this week in one of her books from 1975. She writes, "Not long ago, I attended a funeral of a prominent black citizen. On the platform were eight ministers. Some of them were well-known divines from distant places. Among the messages of comfort and reassurance, I noted especially some words, beautifully and mellifluously spoken. They came at the close of one minister's talk. He spoke of Christian hope inspired by the resurrection of Jesus. He said, 'He robbed death of his sting, he robbed the grave of his victory, and left them both speechless at the tomb.'" There's a time for being speechless, and there's a time for music and singing. And now is the time for singing. Something like 250 times in the Bible, we're told to give God praise and thanksgiving. It's the most repeated command in all of Scripture. The theological and symbolic center of praise and thanksgiving is the Eucharist, the great thanksgiving. By broken bread and crushed grape, we remember the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. And we experience His resurrection presence with us as we share the shared meal. It is a meal of remembrance, thanksgiving, and praise to God. Those three, remembrance, thanksgiving, and praise, are woven together like a three-chord strand all through. We remember what God has done. We give thanks, and we praise, and then we begin again and have the grace of remembering again what God has done, and over again we return back around again and again in the love of God, remembrance and thanksgiving and praise. David's song in 1 Chronicles 16 is woven through with these as well. And this may just very well be the theological center of the Old Testament. And it's a great story. The Ark of the Covenant has been sitting in mothballs in Kiriath-Jearim since they got it back from the Philistines. But Jerusalem has become the spiritual and political capital of Israel under King David. And it was time to take the Ark up to the holy city. Built by exact instructions in Exodus, the ark held the tablets of the Ten Commandments. The ark was holy. It was a wonder. It had mysterious power, as the Philistines found out when they captured it for a brief time. The ark itself was as close as they actually had to actually having God with them. Inside were the tablets that Moses brought down from Sinai. The day when they brought the ark into Jerusalem was a joyful parade. Levites carried poles that carried the ark. Singers, musicians, all the pomp and circumstance that they could round up. Everyone loves a parade. Well, not everyone. David's own wife did not care for it. She didn't even come out to see it. But she did peek out of her window looking down on the procession just in time to see David himself, the king of Israel, dancing down the street, leading the parade, dressed in only a linen ephod, whatever that is. She She saw David's dance, heard the music, and she despised him in her heart. She missed out. Sometimes it is time for silence, but this was a day for singing and dancing. David led the way, himself dancing in front of the procession of the Holy Ark to Jerusalem. He was leading the parade. Nothing could stop the music, and the dance went on. We can see in this story the gravitational center of the whole span of the Old Testament. Just think of all the themes that are present here in this story. The Ten Commandments and the Ark are present, of course. The importance of the Promised Land and Israel inhabiting the land. The establishment of Jerusalem as the holy city. The kingship of David and, in his wife's sullenness, memory of the first king Saul. She was Saul's daughter. The role of the Levites carrying the ark. They would be the priests of the temple. The temple itself, not to be built for another generation, but represented by the tabernacle where they are taking the ark. And so right here in this story, we see the tribes, the Exodus, the law, the kingship, the land, the city, the temple. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about all of it was that it was not a staged, nostalgic reenactment of the past, of days gone by. David didn't dress up like Moses and strap on a big long beard and pretend to be coming down the mountain with a staff and with the Ten Commandments. They didn't travel to Mount Sinai to try to recapture the place where they'd met God all those years ago in hopes of recapitulating the memory of it. This wasn't a recreation of what was. This was a renewal of what is. God is not just the God of the past for people who wish they could go back in time to the glory years. God is the God of the present and the future, of love and hope, of the life that is and the life that is to come. Musicians, help us remember this. Every time music is played, every time, even if it is exactly by the notes written on the page, rehearsed over and over again to perfection, every time something new is born in the room that will never be the same again. There is always new creation. Every time the music is played, every time cymbals crash, trumpets play, the flute and the lyre sound their notes. Every time the master sits at the piano bench before the congregation. And every time when the room is empty and a child or a teenager sneaks up to the same keys when she thinks no one is listening to let her fingers try to follow what her ears have heard. Every time. The musicians were lined up. Each held an instrument, cymbals, flutes, trumpets, lyres, harps. Call up the troubadours. Reunite the desperados. The music is beginning and it's time to strike up the chord. The music was playing. All we needed were the lyrics. And then we got them. Words for all time. A song of remembrance and thanksgiving and praise to God. Words we needed. Remembrance, thanksgiving, praise to God in whom you have been richly blessed and by which we are still blessed forever and ever. In the season for singing, the beat goes on, and this was the music. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds to all the people. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. And they praised the Lord. Amen.